Here's something that would have sounded absolutely absurd just 10 years ago. A software engineer in Jaipur working for a global technology company, earning nearly the same salary as his or her counterpart in Bangalore, but paying half the rent, breathing cleaner air, and walking to work in under 15 minutes. A D2C skincare brand operating from the same city gets acquired by Hindustan Unilever for 3,000 crore rupees. And one of India's largest SaaS companies, they relocate their entire R&D operation from Chennai to a small town in Tamil Nadu called Tenkasi, proving that world-class software can be built from anywhere. Absurd a decade ago, happening right now in 2025. And this represents one of the most significant economic transformations in modern Indian history. For decades, the story of urban India has been written in three languages: Mumbai, Delhi, and Bangalore. These metropolitan giants have dominated everything from GDP contribution to talent acquisition to venture capital flows. But that story is changing, and it's changing fast. The next chapter of India's economic growth isn't being written in these saturated metros anymore. It's being authored in cities like Indore, Coimbatore, Lucknow, Surat, and Bhubaneswar.
You're listening to Nelson John 360. Nelson John 360.
Hello and welcome back to Nelson John 360. I'm your host, Nelson, and today we're diving deep into one of those most fascinating economic shifts happening right now in our country: the rise of Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities as India's growth engine. By the end of this episode, you'll understand exactly why major corporations are relocating, why startups are being born outside of metro bubbles, and why this transformation could add $2 trillion to India's economy by the end of this decade. Let's get into it. To understand where we are going, we first need to understand where we've been. For the longest time, Indian cities operated on a simple hierarchy. The metros got everything: the best infrastructure, the top talent, the big investments, and the corporate headquarters. Tier 2 and 3 cities were essentially feeders, sending their brightest minds to the metros in search of opportunities. But here's what's happening. The metros have hit a wall. Mumbai's real estate prices have become so astronomical that a mid-level professional can spend half their salary just on rent. Bangalore, despite being India's tech capital, has some of the worst traffic congestions in the world, with average commute times exceeding 90 minutes each way. Ask me. I'm a Bangalorean, and the traffic is miserable. Delhi's air quality regularly reaches hazardous levels, making it genuinely unsafe to breathe for significant portions of the year. And the numbers tell a stark story. Cities in India occupy just 3% of the nation's land, but contribute a massive 60% to GDP. As urbanization accelerates and metros approach structural inflection points with limited fresh land and steep pricing, the equation has fundamentally changed. Now, this isn't just about push factors from the metros, though. The pull factors in smaller cities have become remarkably compelling. Consider this. Between September 2024 and February 2025, Tier 2 cities recorded a 42% rise in job openings. There is more than twice the 19% growth seen in metro cities during the same period. Manufacturing jobs grew 29%, IT jobs 17%, and these numbers are accelerating. Now, what's driving this growth? Three words: infrastructure, digital connectivity, and policy support. Let's talk about infrastructure first, because that's exactly the foundation for everything else. The Smart Cities Mission, launched in 2015, has channeled over 1.64 lakh crore rupees into developing 100 cities across India. as of mid-2025, 95% of these projects, some 7,600 different initiatives, have been completed. We're talking about smart roads spanning over 1,700 kilometers, more than 700 kilometers of cycle tracks, 9,400 smart classrooms across government schools, and integrated command and control centers that are transforming urban governance. But here's the real game changer. It's connectivity, both physically and digitally. The Bharatmala Pariyojana has already invested 4.72 lakh crore rupees and constructed nearly 20,000 kilometers of new highways. The Delhi-Mumbai Expressway, at 1,386 kilometers, will cut travel time between India's political and economic capitals by nearly half. New expressways like Agra-Lucknow Corridor, the Mumbai-Indore route, and the upcoming Surat-Chennai Expressway are redrawing the economic map of the country. And here's something most people don't realize. The government is now working on Golden Quadrilateral 2.0. It's a new high-speed expressway grid that will specifically enhance connectivity between Tier 2 cities and Tier 3 cities and major ports. Officials estimate this could reduce travel times by up to 40% and bring India's logistics costs, currently among the highest globally at 14% of GDP, down to just 8% in line with developed economies. The aviation story, it's equally impressive. The Udaan scheme has operationalized 618 routes connecting 88 cities. And the latest budget extends this to 120 new destinations, with a target of 4 crore passengers over the next decade. Cities like Coimbatore are already seeing the impact, with airport cargo volume jumping 15% in 2025 alone. Now, let's talk about the digital infrastructure part. You know, because this is where the transformation gets really interesting. India's total internet subscribers have exploded from 251 million in March 2014 to over 954 million in March 2024, a compound annual growth rate of 14.26%. And the most remarkable part? 95% of India's villages now have 3G or 4G mobile connectivity. Rural internet subscribers have reached nearly 400 million. Now, this digital revolution has fundamentally changed what's possible in smaller cities. A software developer in Indore can now collaborate seamlessly with teams in San Francisco. A startup in Visakhapatnam can serve customers across the country with the same efficiency as the one in Hyderabad. Which brings us to one of the most exciting aspects of this transformation. The entrepreneurial explosion happening outside the metros. According to the Economic Survey 2024, more than 45% of all DPIIT-recognized startups, that's around 56,000 companies, are emerging from Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities. The total number of recognized startups has grown from just 300 in 2016 to over 1.25 lakh by March 2024. These aren't small lifestyle businesses either. They span artificial intelligence, robotics, nanotechnology, fintech, and enterprise software. Let me share some specific examples that illustrate what's possible. A classic example, Zoho. The SaaS giant, valued at billions of dollars, made headlines when it relocated its R&D operations from Chennai to Tenkasi, a small town in Tamil Nadu. This wasn't a symbolic gesture. It was deeply strategic. By decentralizing operations, Zoho reduced costs, accessed a dedicated and stable talent pool, and demonstrated that world-class software can be built from anywhere. Then there is The Minimalist, the D2C skincare brand based in Jaipur. The founders chose this location deliberately, building closer relationship with local suppliers and streamlining their supply chain. When Hindustan Unilever acquired them for 3,000 crore rupees, co-founder Mohit Yadav reaffirmed their commitment to staying in Jaipur. What's fascinating is that the company never struggled to find talent locally. For specialized roles requiring relocation, candidates were actually willing to move to a smaller city for the right opportunity. Consider SuperK, a franchise grocery retail startup based in Kadapa. That's a small town in Andhra Pradesh. Now, they've built over 120 stores in the southern part of the state by understanding something fundamental. Traditional Kirana stores in smaller cities needed technology and scale, not replacement. They've created mini supermarkets using technology while keeping local entrepreneurs at the center. Or let's look at EduSeed, an online education platform teaching coding and mathematics to children, operating from Virudhunagar in Tamil Nadu, a city most people might have not heard of. You see, there is a common thread across these stories that entrepreneurs are finding strategic advantages in building outside the metros. Office spaces and operational costs are significantly lower compared to that of metros. I'm talking 25 to 50% lower. Talent retention is higher because employees don't face the same poaching pressure from large competitors. And increasingly, there is a quality of life factor that's becoming a genuine competitive advantage in recruitment. Now, you see, the pandemic changed everything about how we think about remote work, work location. And one of the most significant beneficiaries of this shift has been India's tier 2 and 3 cities. GCCs, or Global Capability Centers, they've emerged as a fascinating case study. India now hosts over 1,760 GCCs employing nearly 2 million professionals, and this number is projected to grow to 2,500 centers within the next 3 to 4 years. And the interesting trend is where these new centers are locating. The share of GCCs in Tier 2 cities has increased from 5% in 2019 to 7% in 2024. And as per reports, it predicts a 30 to 40% increase in demand for GCCs in these cities over the coming years. The reasons are compelling. Bangalore and Hyderabad, which together host over 1,200 GCCs, are facing acute talent saturation. Companies are competing fiercely for the same pool of professionals, driving up costs and attrition. Meanwhile, cities like Coimbatore, Indore, Jaipur, and Kochi are emerging as viable alternatives. State governments are actively courting this investment. Karnataka's GCC policy aims to attract 500 new centers by 2029, creating 350,000 jobs and generating $50 billion in economic output. Uttar Pradesh's policy, it targets over 1,000 GCCs and 500,000 jobs. Gujarat's Gift City expansion and Uttar Pradesh's investor summits have already secured $10 billion in pledges for 2025. Now, when you look at the talent equation, it's particularly interesting. Around 60% of India's engineering graduates come from Tier 2 and 3 cities. These graduates have historically migrated to metros for opportunities, but that's changing. Companies are increasingly finding that recruiting locally in smaller cities offer better retention, reduced costs, and access to talent that prefers working closer to home. Diageo, Calsoft, Flex, and Kraft Heinz have already established GCCs in cities like Kolkata, Mangalore, Ahmedabad, and Coimbatore. These aren't just back-office operations. They're increasingly handling high-value work, including data analytics, R&D, software engineering, and customer experience operations. Now, let me be honest, I don't want to paint an unrealistically rosy picture. The growth of Tier 2 and 3 cities, they come with their own genuine challenges that needs to be addressed. Infrastructure still remains a challenge. While the smart cities mission has made tremendous progress, many cities still struggle with basics like water supply, waste management, and reliable power. Take Nagpur, for instance. It faces water shortages even as it attracts major investments. The 60% gap between wastewater generation and treatment capacity in urban India is one of the most significant infrastructure challenges we face today. Skilled labor shortages exist in certain domains. While there is abundant talent in general engineering and IT, niches like AI, cybersecurity, and advanced analytics, you know, they can be harder to find in smaller cities. Dehradun, for example, has excellent quality of life, but acknowledge skill gaps that need urgent attention. Another aspect is healthcare and education infrastructure in Tier 3 cities. Particularly, they lag behind in these aspects. Urban local bodies often lack skilled manpower and financial autonomy, which leads to delays in executing development projects. Varanasi, despite its tourism-driven growth, continues to struggle with sewage treatment. Surat's outer regions have high concentrations of informal settlements with poor civic services. Also, how could we forget about regulatory compliance? It's another hurdle. Navigating state-specific regulations and tax incentives can be challenging for companies setting up operations outside familiar metros. Building bylaws, land acquisition processes, and compliance requirements vary significantly across states. But here's what's encouraging. These challenges are being actively addressed. The Amrut 2.0 initiative, with a total outlay of nearly 3 lakh crore rupees, specifically focuses on providing 500 cities with water security through source revival, green spaces, and technology-enabled sewage management. Nearly 9,000 projects worth 1.89 lakh crores have already been undertaken. State governments are creating dedicated policies for GCC expansion, offering rental reimbursements, funding for innovation labs, and skilling expense reimbursements. The national framework for GCC is working to streamline compliance and improve infrastructure readiness. Industry-academia partnerships are expanding. Coimbatore is positioning itself as an AI and tech startup hub with dedicated infrastructure. Lucknow is building India's first AI city under the India AI mission with an allocation of over 10,000 crore rupees. Bhubaneswar is establishing centers of excellence for design, AI and robotics at the Odisha University of Technology and Research. Now, for investors, entrepreneurs, and businesses watching this transformation, I believe the opportunity is massive. Real estate is perhaps the most immediate opportunity. Magic Bricks data, you know, it shows Tier 2 cities averaging 17.6% capital appreciation. Now, that outpaces Delhi's 15.7%. In 2024, Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities captured 44% of the 3,294 acres of land acquired by real estate developers. That's the highest share ever. Nagpur and Surat saw 30% rise in residential sales in the first half of 25 alone. Now, e-commerce opportunity is equally compelling. Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities now account for 60% of India's overall e-commerce demand, with projected annual growth rates of 30%. Amazon India reports that 65% of their new customers in 24 came from smaller cities. Flipkart sees 70% of their sale day traffic originating from non-metro locations. Consumer internet startups are finding their next wave of growth in these markets. A 2024 NASSCOM and RedSeer report reveals that nearly 58% of all new users for consumer internet startups came from non-metros. The combined Tier 2, Tier 3 and rural base now contributes 72% of India's internet population. Specific sectors showing rapid growth including agri-tech, addressing the needs of India's rural and semi-urban agricultural economy. Health tech, where Tier 2 cities are becoming hubs for clinical data management and medical coding. EdTech, with platforms tailoring content for semi-urban students. And logistics, where last-mile delivery solutions in Tier 3 towns represent a massive opportunity. A McKinsey report projects that 18 Tier 2 future arenas could generate $2 trillion in revenue by 2030, up from $690 billion in 2023. KPMG, it estimates investments in these cities could add $500 billion to GDP from Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities by 2030. So, what does all of this mean for India's economic future? The transformation we are witnessing represents a fundamental restructuring of how economic value is created and distributed in the country. For 75 years after independence, growth was concentrated in a handful of metros. The next 25 years will see that growth democratize across hundreds of cities. India, you know, has become the world's fourth largest economy, having recently surpassed Japan. By 2047, the vision is to achieve a $10 trillion economy. Reaching that target requires unlocking the economic potential of all cities, not just the metros. The projections are striking. Urban areas are expected to house 40% of India's population and contributes 75% of GDP by 2030. But this growth won't come primarily from existing metros expanding further. It will come from the emergence of new economic clusters across Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities. Consider that cities currently occupy just 3% of India's land mass. There's enormous physical capacity for growth outside of the metros. With proper planning, infrastructure, investment, and policy support, we can see dozens of smaller cities evolve into specialized economic hubs, manufacturing centers, tech corridors, logistic hubs, healthcare clusters, and even education destinations. The remote work revolution has permanently altered employer psychology. Companies that once insisted on physical presence in metros are now comfortable with distributed teams. This opens possibilities that would have been unthinkable a decade ago. A product team in Coimbatore, a design studio in Jaipur, a customer success center in Lucknow, all working seamlessly with headquarters in Bangalore. Now, here's what I want you to take away from today's episode. The rise of the Tier 2 and 3 cities isn't a temporary trend or a COVID-induced aberration. It is a structural shift driven by fundamental economics, cost arbitrage, talent availability, infrastructure improvement, digital connectivity, and of course, quality of life considerations. The forces driving this transformation are exhilarating. They're not slowing down. For businesses, the question isn't whether to consider small cities, but which ones and how quickly. First movers will access talent pools before competition intensifies, secure real estate at lower prices, and build relationships with local ecosystems while they're still developing. For professionals, smaller cities offer an increasingly viable path to building meaningful careers without sacrificing quality of life for the chaos of metropolitan existence. The salary gap is narrowing while the cost of living gap remains wide. For investors, this represents a generational opportunity to participate in the creation of new economic centers. The patterns we're seeing: infrastructure development preceding real estate appreciation, talent accumulation attracting corporate investment, local entrepreneurship driving innovation. These are predictable and they're investable. And for India as a nation, this distributed growth model offers something precious: a more equitable path to prosperity. When economic opportunity spreads beyond a few metros, it reduces migration pressure, strengthens local economies, and creates a more resilient overall system. The next decade will see the emergence of 15, 20, perhaps 30 new cities that matter economically in ways they haven't before. The companies being built in these cities today, the infrastructure being laid, the talent being developed, these are the foundation of India's future prosperity. I'm curious to hear from you. If you're living in a Tier 2 or 3 city right now, what's the biggest change you witnessed in the last 5 years? And if you're in a metro, what would it actually take for you to consider making the move? Let's start that conversation. That's all in today's episode of Nelson John 360. I'm your host, Nelson John. If this resonated with you, share it with someone who needs to hear it. Until next time, keep thinking differently.